Welcome to the Mac Owen Cause Podcast. I am Matthew Cause. That is Bob Mackiewicz. We are trying this podcast from our new studio, which is actually the dining room, whatever this is, in my condo, mostly so I can see Bob instead of looking at him from the side, from our old spot. We're going to give it a shot. Good morning, Bob.
I liked it when you sold it as our brand new studio. It felt like by episode 5, we were doing so much bigger, yeah. So much better. And look at this, Maddie. We've moved into this giant space. Actually, is there a bit of an echo going on?
There is.
Because of the high ceilings in our new studio.
That's right. Thank you so much to all the sponsors and the money that's come in. We've got our new studio space. It's funky. Remember like in 90s movies where every 90s movie always had high ceilings? But the most important thing, exposed brick.
It's true. You make me think actually of Wall Street and Bud Fox when he's out there shopping for the new apartment.
Yes.
And Daryl Hannah helps him to decorate it. So that's what it's like, Matt. Our next spot, next to, you know, we're on the first floor of your condo.
Yes.
We'll be on from the second floor. So by moving down, we're moving up.
Yeah.
And then the next one will be prime real estate in the upper east side.
Yeah. And then just at the end, Bud Fox, like, I'll take it. It's also like in Singles, everyone had the cool job. It was a 90s movie and they had the exposed brick. There's also one other reason why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know the guy's name.
Okay.
I have an Airbnb, shared Airbnb person. Mm-hmm. They might be awake, but they were asleep before.
All right.
And so I felt bad being upstairs.
Okay, so Cause, let's just jump to it. I wanted to call this the side hustle edition of the Mackiewicz and Cause podcast because there's a couple side hustle issues I wanted to address with you.
All right.
Number one being the new Airbnb rules, that Toronto's bringing in new rules.
Great, so good.
Is it affecting you? I don't think it is because I think the big thing is they want to get rid of what they call ghost hotels.
Yes.
Right, where you just, you're basically a rental property, right? But you're not like paying any kinds of charges like a rental property.
It was the result of Airbnb.
You could say consequence.
Is that people would have all these rental properties and then it was squeezing out, making it more difficult for people to find inexpensive housing, you know, because just people found a way to use the system to make a buck. That's not what we're doing. We're actually using Airbnb with the intent that they wanted it. You share the space. The people live here with us. They go out through the city. They spend money on the local economy. And so we're doing it the right way.
So do we get kicked out of your study because someone might be sleeping in this house right now?
Well, it was my choice. It was actually my choice to do that just because I felt bad for the person.
You're
that was
such a good landlord, Matt. Such a good landlord. Okay, so this, I wanted to talk to you about this Airbnb thing because when you started it, I wasn't on the air with you.
Yeah.
And so I had to sit back and listen to, what did you guys call the bit on the old show? The real house guests of Matt Cause?
The real house guests of Matt Cause.
Okay, so here's the big difference between you and I, amongst the many, many, many big differences between you and I.
Yeah.
You like to meet new people.
Yes.
I can't stand meeting new people. Like, there's somebody new in the house right now. That doesn't creep you out, does it?
It doesn't creep me out at all because it's self-selecting. If you're going to share a space, the person staying here, is probably a nice person, probably curious, wants to see the city. And more importantly, they're just not a jerk.
Is probably a nice person? Matt, have you met people?
No, I know, but people who decide to do shared Airbnb, it weeds out all the D-bags. Because you have to be able to respect someone else's space because they're there
at
the same time.
You don't have to be able. You have to be able to pretend to. That's like saying, okay, when you go on vacation, are you the kind of person, there's two kinds of people in this world.
Mm-hmm.
People who go on vacation and they want to meet people they've never met before.
Yeah.
And people who go on vacation and want to be left alone and avoid people. Which one are you?
Ah, but see, on vacation, I'm somewhere in the middle. I'm perfectly happy being left alone, but it's always cool when you meet new people. You know, the difference here is, Bob, we've been doing this for over a year. We haven't had one bad person stay here.
Okay, so
everyone's been nice.
I actually prepared a little questionnaire, an Airbnb side hustle edition of the Macro Cause podcast questionnaire for you. We'll get to Leafs takeaways in a moment and the NBA finals. We've got a really fun top five. We're doing top five sports Robins in honor of Evgeny Malkin.
Yes, sports
Poor
Robins.
Malkin. The guy is a top five player in the NHL, and he's the second best player on his own team.
Yeah.
That's just nutty. Okay, so we'll get to that in a bit, but here's my side hustle questionnaire for you. Are you ready?
Yep.
Has anyone ever been messy in your house?
There was, I think someone was dyeing their hair. There was a little bit of blue coloring on one of the sheets.
Wait a minute, they were dyeing their hair.
There was two young girls. I don't know what young girls do, like you know, like 21.
Okay.
A little bit of blue dye. I didn't even know that. My girlfriend said, yeah, that's what that was.
Any white supremacists or warlocks?
No.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah.
If they want to watch TV when you want to watch it, do you have to watch with them?
This was a big one for me. And here's what I've discovered. Because of Wi-Fi and Netflix and everyone brings their tablets, it's never come up. Only one time in over a year has someone sat on my couch and watched TV, and it was a couple that were hungover from a wedding. And I was like, you know what? The TV's all yours. There was only one time I was creeped out. I was sitting on the couch, and a guy, and he wasn't even staying here. He was the boyfriend of a girl who was staying here. He sat down like right next to me and just sat quietly watching the same TV that I'm watching. And that was uncomfortable.
That sounds so
it stunk.
Horrible.
So,
that sounds so bad.
But if you do the entirety, there was about 2 hours of me going, what the bleep is this guy doing? That's the only one I've had.
Okay, I got a few here. So let's do a little rapid
fire. Okay, I'll do rapid fire.
Yeah, no, you gave good answers. There's nothing wrong with that. Have you ever said no to anyone or regretted the decision upon seeing them?
Never said no to anyone.
Okay. Do they get to wear your robe?
I do not own a robe.
That's a whole other topic for a whole other day.
Yep.
Do they leave tips?
People have left bottles of wine.
Oh, that's quite
nice. And a couple couples from like Europe, they've left little gifts.
Nice. Do they hug you goodbye?
Well, Amy hugs everyone who comes here.
That's
yeah, my
true.
Girlfriend,
your girlfriend Amy.
Strangers, and she is hugging them.
Okay.
I have done a couple huggings.
All right.
Yes, people that have stayed
I'm
longer.
I'm hugging.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is the most important one. Now, Amy listens to this podcast, so this is going to be a tricky one for you to answer truthfully.
Okay.
Have you ever rented to anybody who's been uncomfortably attractive, and you know that there's someone very attractive in the house, and you have to pretend like you don't know that?
There was one girl who was very attractive, but she was barely ever around. So it would be more like this drive-by attracting. It's like, oh, hi, how are you doing? But at the same point, you know, yeah, so that's it. Just one time.
And was your girlfriend here at the time?
Yeah.
Like, did you have to do the old, I'm pretending to not even notice that this person just happens to look like Christy Turlington.
I am a master of the pretending.
Is that true?
Oh, I am so good at that.
Now, do you do it by acknowledging it just enough? It's kind of like when you get a
flicker,
like a vaccine, right? Like
yeah.
The polio vaccine, they give you a little bit of the disease so that your body learns how to break it down. Is that what it is? Do you just slightly acknowledge the attractiveness?
Yes. And the thing is, because I'm such a face guy first, I'm not the ogler on the other lovely parts of a woman's body. It's just flicker, register the face, and then flicker away, and then allow me to digest it however I see fit. So I can do that. I'm very quick at that.
So basically, it's just a quick eye glance north of 60, and you're out.
Done.
Well, that's a very good way.
Because also, my thing is, why spend all this time ogling when A, and this is not me kissing ass, you know, we've all talked about Amy is awesome, but B, what's the point of ogling another woman? I'm not going to be able to have sex with her. So what's the point of going, wow, look how attractive this woman is who I will never be able to, be between the sheets with.
Matt, if everyone had that attitude, the internet would never have been invented.
That's a good point.
That is a good point.
That's a good point.
All right. So there you have it.
Yeah.
It is the cause. And I've actually got other side hustle stuff to get into, but we should get into it later. We said last week, when the Stanley Cup final was over and the NBA finals were over, and they are now. Congrats, Pens.
Yes.
Congrats.
Golden
Warriors,
State, yep.
That we'd probably get into Leafs rosterbation.
Yes.
So shall we just dive in with the sports takeaway and do our Leafs rosterbation right out of the gate?
Yeah, because my sports takeaway is all about the Toronto Maple Leafs. And it actually relates to a gentleman you just mentioned.
Okay.
Evgeny Malkin.
Okay.
Who was asked, Bruce Arthur was from the Toronto Star, was asking him, you know, who are the up-and-coming teams? And he said, the Leafs in Edmonton. Ray Ferraro, who's a very smart guy who doesn't carry water for the Maple Leafs, said not only is that true, but because Toronto has no bad contracts, they are in a far better spot than Edmonton. So my takeaway is that the Leafs, and this is very simple, but there's a lot of different reasons. If you're a Leafs fan, next year is going to be even better than this year. And a couple reasons. Morgan Rielly and Zaitsev would have been the number one defensive pairing on the Penguins. Jake Gardner is better than any, and because Letang was out, was better than any of the Penguins' defense. I mean, Justin Schultz, you can make an argument. But there's no one on the Penguins' defense that was demonstrably better than either Morgan Rielly or Jake Gardner. And, you know, the concern is, oh, the Leafs don't have any defense. A couple other things. The expansion draft won't affect
the Maple
Leafs.
Before we get to the expansion draft. I actually want to address that point you made about the Pens defense.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't you feel like that's a slippery slope? Like, it's a bit of a it's a bit of a mirage to say that the Pens were able to do it with nobody.
Of course.
Because they do have two of the three or four best centers in the game on their team.
Oh, absolutely.
And they had Matt Murray, and they had Marc-Andre Fleury actually carry water for them in the first few rounds.
Oh, yeah, and that is the argument, but for people worried.
So it is a bit of a unique situation.
Of course.
And plus, the way the Penguins play hockey is they try to control the pace of play in the offensive zone, so they really are... The poor quality of their defense doesn't hurt them the way it might other teams.
It won't hurt a lot of teams because of the strength at forward and in net. Well, what did the Maple Leafs have? Auston Matthews, Mitch Marner, William Nylander, Kadri, who doesn't get talked about, but had a really good year, and Connor Brown, 20 goals in his early 20s. Not that he's a top six forward. But the thing is, the Leafs are at least being constructed in a similar way to the Penguins.
Okay, I don't want to be the guy who downplays the quality of the Leafs next year, because I do think they'll be better too. But don't you think Nashville would likely have beaten them had they not lost Philip Forsberg, had they not had to bump centers up to where they didn't belong? Nashville went in really hurt. Arvidsson was hurt.
The Penguins had no Letang. Who Letang, by the way, you can argue is the second
best. But your strength down the middle.
You can argue Letang is the second best player on that team after Crosby.
No, you couldn't.
Yes, you can.
You could not. You could not. In fact, you could only argue that if your stated purpose was to be wrong. But I'm assuming most arguments you don't go in with the idea of being wrong. So let's just say for your protection, Matt. I've been on a diet for the last 17 days.
Yeah.
Don't tell me that you think Letang is better than Malkin.
I'm saying the argument. The argument can be made.
Well, yeah, but the argument can be made that red is blue. It doesn't mean that there's any logic to it.
I would wade deeper into this argument, but let's continue on. So
are you not concerned going into next year that the Leafs blue line needs to be addressed?
Of course it needs to be addressed.
It would be nice to be, but it needs to be if they're going to take a meaningful jump forward.
I don't know. Unless you go after like a Sammy Vatanen, and I don't think you want to start trading a whole bunch to get that.
And he's not even the right guy necessarily.
No, not even the right guy. I'm blanking on his name.
Josh Manson?
No, from the Capitals.
You're thinking of Kevin Shattenkirk?
No.
Carl Arlster?
Thank you. Oh, God. Thank you for coming up with that name. This could have been 10 minutes of death. I'm going to let me look up the roster.
Hang on. I got to get Hockey DB. All right. Who do we have first here?
Yes, you want to improve the defense.
You have to improve the defense.
Yeah, but what you see from the Penguins' blueprint, there is another way.
You're making me nervous with the idea of the Penguins' blueprint. I think this year, and this is not going to be a popular point of view, but they got a bit lucky. They got a bit lucky. They got lucky in the sense that...
They got lucky in terms of they stayed healthy.
With the exception of Letang, yes. They stayed healthy.
Sorry, I'm talking about the Maple Leafs.
The Leafs definitely, and we can get more into that. But I'm just saying this idea of a Penguins blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're a good team.
Yes.
Well, no, they're a great team.
They're a great team.
That is fronted by two of the best players of our generation.
Mm-hmm.
And they got really good goaltending.
Yep.
And had Matt Murray not been really... Like, think back to those first two games of the final. They were not in those games. Nashville, in another universe, wins that series 7 times out of 10.
Oh, I disagree with that.
Really?
No, even if seven times out of 10,
okay,
are you nuts?
All right, let me put it to this way. If both teams were healthy going into that series, who would you take more times than the other?
Penguins. They'd have Letang. I mean, so they would have Letang. That means,
yeah, but they would have all their centers back on the Nashville side. They would actually be able to control the middle of the
ice.
You
wouldn't be relying on Ron Hainsey as much if you had Letang. Everyone gets slotted in their proper position. I mean, look at Letang. He's a guy who plays like 28 minutes in the playoffs. You know, and also because in the playoffs this year, and I think going forward, they had an extra day off between games 4 and 5 and 6. That wouldn't have affected Letang as much, having to play those heavy minutes.
Okay, Matt, I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
We came here to Leaf roster bait.
Yeah, what are
you
doing?
I'm losing my horny for Leafs roster baiting here. We're talking too much about the Pens.
Okay, let's move on.
It's like we had an open copy of Playboy, and we flipped it to the gin and tonic ad.
All right.
The Tanqueray ads.
Well, I'll bang out a couple more quick points. You take them as you see fit.
Okay.
The expansion draft won't affect the Maple Leafs. It will affect other teams. Because all the Leafs' best players are too young to be plucked, and everyone else has basically been
protected.
They're
in good shape for the expansion.
They're in a good shape. Pens are going to be tired. Capitals, and by the way, I'm not saying the Leafs are going to win the Stanley Cup.
You're saying they're going to be better. They're
going to
take a step forward.
They don't have bad contracts. Their fourth or fifth best rookie was Connor Brown. When Malkin recognizes game, And Ferraro immediately agreed. And having that flexibility, everything is set for the Leafs. My only concern, damn, they got lucky in terms of health.
They did.
Yeah.
They did. And you saw when Mitch Marner was banged up how that second line dried up.
Yeah.
Because he really is, what do you call it? The veteran whisperer? Is that your name for them? Yeah.
Yeah.
He really did drive play on that line. And so when he was banged up, that suffered. I still think that over the course, if you're going to make the jump from a pretty good team, and let's not forget, they just barely made the playoffs. They squeaked in the eighth spot. So it's not like they're not poised. They're not perched to make the jump to the top of the rankings.
No.
They're kind of in the mushy middle, but they're moving forward.
But the good mushy middle because they're young.
Mushy middle, but with upside.
Yes.
But to make that jump, this is a really tough jump. I mean, the one thing we have learned about the Pens is that you've got four or five stars on your team. And then you've just got a rotating cast of rookies on good contracts, vets on short-term contracts, and you're not overpaying anybody on your third and fourth line. And that's the real key to success in the cap world. And the Leafs have 3/4 stars that you can move forward with and be really, really excited about. Probably 3 stars, I think we would say, because I'm not going to put Kadri up there, and I'm not going to put Riley or Gardner. They're all really good players, but they're not star players.
Riley could be a star.
I don't know if Riley's getting much better.
22, 23. Defensemen take time to adjust. There's plenty of guys that
he's been in the league for a while.
I know, but there's plenty of defensemen that don't start blossoming till 26. And in professional sports,
there's not plenty. There are some. Like, everybody uses the Victor Hedman example because
he was very big,
and he's, you know, it took time to learn how to skate with that big body, but I think by the time you get about 3 or 4 years into the league, you kind of know what you're going to get with a defenseman.
Riley can be better. Zaitsev can be better.
Zaitsev, I don't think, is getting any better because he is 25, 26. I can't remember the exact number.
Zaitsev can get better.
I don't see him getting much better.
But I think he can get better.
They got to address their defense, which is what makes this offseason so interesting.
But you say they have to address their defense.
They do.
What do they do?
Well, this is where it gets interesting.
Yeah.
Here's what you can do. You can draft.
Yeah, but whoever you draft is not going to be ready for the next year or two.
No, and also they're probably too good to get those high draft picks now unless they swap them in some kind of deal. Like, what are they picking this year? Is it 16th? Are they picking 16th?
Somewhere in the mid-teens.
Right, so as they get better, that's just going to get worse and worse. So you're going to start picking towards the bottom of the first round. So I don't really see them drafting that stud defenseman. Could happen, but not necessarily a great play. You can sign them as free agents, but we know how quick teams are to re-sign their guys to long-term contracts.
Yes.
Or you can trade for them.
Yes. You have to get lucky in the draft, or you have to trade.
Now, there is another way, one that GMs almost never use.
The offer sheet?
The offer sheet.
When does it work?
Well, it almost never works because it's almost never the right time to do it. Tyler Dello, whom both you and I admire greatly, one of the smartest hockey guys out there, wrote a terrific piece for The Athletic about how the Leafs should offer sheet Colton Parayko.
Yeah.
And I thought a lot about this, and I can't see any flaws with that argument. Are you going to give up a bunch of firsts to St. Louis?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, you are.
But if the Leafs are going to be really good, they're not. Those firsts are going to be, you know, in the teens and then hopefully later in the 20s.
And you're trading it for something that you know you need. So you're trading a bunch of chances to get something that you know you need for that thing itself.
Yes.
So logically, it makes sense to do it.
Yes, it does.
They've got cap space they can work with.
Everything is fertile ground for them.
This is a unique summer. So this offer sheet, Colton Parayko, I've kind of fallen, like, sure, could they trade for Chris Tanev? Yes. And if they did that, would I be excited? I absolutely would.
Mm-hmm.
But this one I particularly like. You know why, Matt?
Why?
Because it's sneaky.
Yeah.
And nobody ever does it. And weren't the Leafs front office so much more fun when they got away from Brian Burke, who was,
exactly,
we can't do that. It offends the very nature of the game.
It's near Christmas. We don't do any deals here. And I'm not going to. Oh, yeah. I mean, you're right. I mean, that's who Brian Burke is.
First thing they did was, like, make the deal for Nathan Horton with David Clarkson. Like, they were pulling scams left, right, and center.
Joffrey Lupul, who, by the way, I just want to say, because Lupul's been injured for so many years now, our heartfelt wishes to you and your family. We wish Lupul that hopefully one day you will be healthy again to maybe put on skates.
What's with the sudden moment of sincerity and honesty?
It's
what
not.
Happened there?
I'm being wildly sarcastic.
Oh, okay, thank goodness. By the way, is Lupul Island separate than Robida Island?
Yeah, Robida Island.
Are they different things?
Yeah.
Is it like an archipelago?
Yes, it absolutely is. Okay. Lupul was just, hey, I'm ready to go. I'm too injured to play now, as Lamarillo is somewhere lurking. I love the idea? Shake up the NHL. Why didn't I do it? Well, I mean, that's not what we do in our league. Go do it.
I think the idea that these guys don't want to hose each other is maybe a little overrated, because honestly, the offer sheet usually isn't a good idea. Like, if you're a bad team, you don't want to give up lots of picks because they're going to be high picks. And as you just saw with Toronto, why would, if you were going to be bad, why would you give up like a potential top five pick to try and land somebody and do that for a few years in a row? Like, it's been said, and I think this is really true, is the offer sheet is perfect when you're a team that has some cap space and you're a player away from being really good.
Ding, ding, ding.
Right.
That's, you know, the Maple Leafs obviously are more than one player, but damn, if you get that defenseman and it just settles everyone.
What am I holding up, Matt?
You're holding your hand with five fingers.
Five fingers. It's the King Kong Bundy five count. Your team needs how many stars? Five.
Yep.
Not three.
Not three.
Not four.
Nope.
You need five.
Yep.
One of them is in net.
Yep.
You pay them like crazy, because even in the cap system, you can pay your stars. You just get hosed when you throw Matt Martin $10 million over 4 years. Like, that's where you get screwed, because you can't stock the bottom six as well as you would like. You can't stock the back pairing as well as you would like. Like, you saw what happened when they brought Brian Boyle in and how much better the Leafs' numbers got.
Yeah.
And he was just playing fourth line.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't a dead zone anymore.
Yeah.
You'd need that. But you can pay your stars. So if Colton Parayko is going to be that star, give him the money.
Give him the money.
Give him the money.
You know what? It doesn't hurt to try. Bob, what was your sports?
Are you done with that?
Yeah,
Have you done enough Leafs rosturbation?
Yeah, we've done enough Leafs rosturbation.
Are you going to flip over to ESPN.com? Matt has this wild theory that when men are finished rosturbating, mm-hmm. that the first thing they do is they go to ESPN.com to catch up on scores.
That was my theory for many, many years. Uh-huh. And
which I have to admit, like, just anecdotally speaking, some truth to it.
And we'll keep the anecdotes to a minimum.
You've got some stranger upstairs. I wonder what they're thinking of this conversation.
They better not be roster baiting up there. That's all I'm going to say.
Go back to my earlier question. Are they ever messy?
Is that what you meant by messy? Was
no, I didn't.
Okay.
But
okay.
I wouldn't blacklight any of your rooms.
Neither would I. Any of them. Onwards and upwards. Actually, the new website is after you're done roster baiting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you go to Twitter?
I don't.
Has Twitter replaced? Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah.
Your sports takeaway, Bob.
We can go one of two directions. We can do non-sporty. Well, kind of sporty or definitely sporty. What would you prefer?
Let's go a kind of.
Okay. So the finals end and Crosby's skating around the ice and he's holding up the cup and it's a great moment.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant's holding the Larry O'Brien trophy, kissing it after the Warriors win.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what jumped in my mind suddenly in that moment?
What?
Sports photography has really changed. In the sense that had these moments happened 20 years ago, we would all be scrambling to see what are the defining pictures that were taken out of this celebration. Sports Illustrated, what would be the cover, what would the big layout in the middle of the... Of
yeah.
The, and you're a big Sports Illustrated guy from back in the day,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Whoever was on the cover was a neat little snapshot of what was going on in sports. More American than Canadian.
But. So what really dawned on me was how the way that we consume the visuals of these great sports moments has really changed. Like, sports photography was previously an art form in and of itself.
Yes.
And there were lots of places. Newspapers had sports photographers, and that was a big part of
it. It was a glamour job. Remember Frank Sinatra for Life magazine, one of the Muhammad Ali fights. It's a big deal.
And boxing is a great, because boxing has given us some of the greatest photos of all time.
Yes.
You think of Ali standing over Liston defiantly after Liston was trying to treat him like a chump.
Yep.
You think of maybe my favorite boxing photo ever is Mike Tyson trying to pick up his mouthpiece off the mat in Tokyo after Buster Douglas suckered him. So there are all these great moments, and we don't really look for those anymore, I've noticed. Which is funny, because we live in an age where everybody takes pictures of everything. That our phones are basically cameras that we speak into occasionally and text people. But seriously, I mean, Apple loves to sell the idea of how good its portrait mode is on the new phone, the 7. So it just dawned on me. It's neither good nor bad. It just really spoke to me what the evolution is, that we would go and listen to podcasts as soon as this thing was done.
Yep.
We got 24/7 sports radio.
Yep.
We've got Twitter, which during these moments is on fire.
Yep.
But the idea of the frozen moment, the picture, it's kind of gone away.
Has the frozen moment been replaced by the meme and the GIF?
Yes. That was ultimately the point I think that I arrived at too. And I love, like, you think of the LeBron dunk where he threw it off the backboard to himself and dunked. I guess, what would that have been, Game 3 or Game 4? I don't remember. It doesn't matter. Yeah. But that's like a perfect GIF, right?
Yeah.
It's just a short, snappy slice of action that you can share with your friends. And then, of course, Crying Jordan changed the meme game forever in the sports world.
Can we just blame millennials for this as well? Because I still love the photograph. I love the single shot. You know, a picture tells 1,000 words, whatever cliche you want to use. I'm just going to blame millennials and their memes and GIFs.
It's funny because I was thinking about this. My instinct, because I was a kid who loved sports photography. You know, your locker would be filled with great pictures. Your room would be, you know, decked out with band photos and sports photos. I don't know if blame's the right word, though, Matt.
Of course not.
No, I know. I know you're just being old man wise guy here.
Yeah.
But I kind of like, actually, that what we've seen is this really neat evolution from I consume the photo to here's the picture and what am I going to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
This
yeah.
is one of those really
It's much
neat,
more interactive.
It's so much more. Like a good Instagram page is a work of art in and of itself. And even if it's not art, it's certainly fun.
Yeah. I mean, maybe what this eventually turns to is somewhere down the road, because everything just ping pongs back and forth. It'll put more value on the one true great photo that cuts through memes, GIFs, snark, and everything else that we see in social media.
Well, you think
media.
Of like Seinfeld and Kesha from just the other day where he doesn't want to get hugged by her.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing beautiful about that moment.
No.
It's just really funny.
Yeah, it was just funny. And then Seinfeld had to defend himself for some reason.
Yeah, that was pretty ridiculous. I don't know. I mean, if someone breaks into your conversation and needs to...
to be hugged.
Yeah, like I feel like maybe the proper approach is, excuse me, may I interrupt for a moment?
Or just wait, just Kesha.
Yeah.
Listen, go, you know, go put some more money symbols in your name and wait for Jerry to be done his interview.
Jerry doesn't have to worry about the money symbols in his
no,
name.
No, no.
He could be Seinfeld with a dollar sign. There's no question about that.
How much money do you think Seinfeld will make during the length of this podcast? Like just and not doing
Ooh,
anything.
Like this podcast? Okay, how far into it right now are we?
We are 26 minutes in.
And we're going to try to get it under an hour?
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. So we'll see, for argument's sake, 34 more minutes?
Yeah.
I carry the four.
900
divided by six. I'm going to say 1.3 million.
Yeah.
I think it's in 1.3 million by the time we're done.
Just
how much are we
going to
make?
Well, we'll make close to that for our third studio.
1.3 million doll hairs.
Doll hairs, exactly.
Getting paid in doll hairs.
We've got coming up in a little bit the top five Robins or sports sidekicks. Also, the big question, do we complain too much about the sports we watch? And I'm looking at you media, I'm looking at you fans, you know, just do we complain too much?
Do you have any other takeaways you want to get to before we move on?
Well, I was wondering, did you want to discuss a little bit the Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor?
Yeah, that was going to be my sportier.
Perfect,
sportier
let's do it.
So
yeah.
August the 26th, going to happen, the big fight. I mean, we'll really see. I mean, it's on the books right now. Let's see if someone comes down with a mysterious injury.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm doing air quotes, which you can't see on the radio, but or on a podcast, but yes, mysterious injury. Are you excited by this, Matt? Because I know you don't really care about the UFC, and you have been a boxing fan, but you're not deep into it.
No, I'm not deep into it. I'm excited for everything until the bell starts, and then I'm excited for what happens after, you know, a round or so after Floyd Mayweather destroys Conor McGregor. Everything in the middle is going to be boring, but who cares?
Do you think it's going to be, do you mean the middle, like the lead up to the fight?
No, no, the fight. I think everything is going to be
good. Yeah, the fight itself will probably be quick.
The fight is going to stink.
Yeah.
My concern about the lead up to the fight, I hope this doesn't turn into, and it often does in boxing, racial trafficking. Because, you know, it's like, oh, the black guy versus the white guy. When I look at it as the black guy who's one of the greatest boxers of all time, who's also just a complete, you know, his past is disgusting, versus Conor McGregor, who great in MMA, but is in this world feels a bit like a carnival barker, and I just can't take him that seriously in the boxing ring because I think he's going to get killed.
That's an interesting point about the sort of racial nature of it, because UFC, you don't really play those racial narratives quite as much.
It doesn't feel like it.
Well, they're pretty diverse, right? Like there's a genuine mix of, you know, racial representation in UFC.
Yeah. Boxing had the great white hype.
But that's it, like, yeah,
which,
exactly.
Which I don't think exists as much as what it did like 40
Jerry
years
Cooney,
ago.
Jerry Cooney, the great white
yeah,
hype.
Exactly.
Right?
I mean, that was a time period. It's not now. I would hate the idea of, you know, it's like I have to line up with this person because they look like me. I would love Conor McGregor to win because Floyd Mayweather Jr. has hit women. So I'm rooting for Conor McGregor. But the thing is, he's going to get killed.
He's going to get destroyed. It reminds me, remember in the old days when there'd be comics and they would have like Spider-Man versus Superman, there'd be DC Marvel crossovers.
Yeah.
This feels a bit like that with Mayweather playing the role of Superman. And you think, okay, it's a fun idea, and yeah, I'm going to buy it, but really, how is Spider-Man going to beat Superman? Mm-hmm. Is that really going to happen? One guy can lift planets, and the other one has the powers of a spider.
Yeah, exactly. But he can spin a web, you know.
Any size. Cash is thieves, Matt.
Yeah.
Just like flies.
That's true.
Right. Don't get me going on Spider-Man. But yeah, it feels like a total squash. One thing I will say, though, is two of the greatest promoters of the modern era
are
about to go at it. So whatever happens next is going to be interesting.
Think how smart this is. The fight was released. The information for this happened yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
NBA Finals over.
Right.
There is, you know, the NFL is still a ways away. It's not like the day of the the baseball All-Star game. You pick the right time when you
and the timing of the fight, like August the 26th. It's the ultimate gulch.
Yes.
In terms of sports viewership.
Oh yeah, this had to be planned for a while. When can we attract maximum amount of attention? You know, it's like during the Super Bowl, do not announce anything if you want attention. This was perfect by them.